Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Good morning. Wake up with AI. It is November 1st, 2024. George and Nico, how you fellas doing today?
Doing good. Definitely didn't have to search for a reason to wake up this morning.
Yeah. One of these times, I'm just going to answer that like, I'm doing horrible, and then see what happens to the rest of the show. But for today, I'm doing great, doing good. It's Friday, so let's just say we made it through another week of waking up with AI, and literally and figuratively. So, as always, I'm excited to see what in God's name we're talking about with the plethora of things that flew into the... You know, here's the thing. It's unfair that with 45 minutes before the show, there are like 3 to 5 videos that are anywhere from 40 to like 69 minutes. And you're like, I can't fit all of these in the next 45 minutes. And so then you're like torn because you don't know which direction we're going to go, but you have all the potential information to add value to the conversation. Maybe I'm not doing okay.
No, man. No, oh, you're man. All right.
It's an interesting dynamic because now we're like kind of all getting involved, not letting Nico have all the fun. Like, obviously it's still the primary news source, but it's like we're all having experiences and we're sharing. And if we could just figure out how to create this dynamic in a scaled way so that, because this engagement and conversation back and forth, like that's how we learn and that's how we grow. And, you know, hopefully we can set the table here and, you know, help others do the same.
It's funny because I feel like there is a good dynamic because you have Nico who's like, here's all the big, you know, monstrous things that are happening. And then there's me who's like, dude, I found this cool little prompt about like learning anything about the 20 and 80%. And like, I'm throwing that in going, this is dumb, but I'm going to share it. But maybe it isn't dumb, depending on who's listening. Like that might be the thing for them. So
we cover the spectrum. Right.
Yeah.
So like whether you haven't heard of any of this stuff, whether you just started using it yesterday, whether you've been using it for a couple months and you're looking for some like tips or tricks or something like that, or, you know, whether you really want to know some more nitty gritty. I think about the only thing that we don't cover is like the super technical, you know, concepts, theories and really tough mathematics. And I don't want to think about it.
Nobody does. Nobody's waking up with that. Like that's nobody's put you right back to sleep.
Right. Yeah.
There's probably like one guy
yeah.
or gal, one guy or gal yeah, no, out there that yeah, might actually, I don't know, maybe not.
Oh, we know several of them, I think. But the point is you know, they've got this stuff already covered usually. So let's serve the rest. What do we got today, Nico?
Today, it's a good Friday, guys. After yesterday's discussion, much lighter subject today would be great. End the week on a good note, right? So thankfully that got done for me, despite everything that's happened in the last 24, which I only got to post half about this morning. GPT did the world a favor and released GPT Search. And so you might be wondering, okay, well, what is GPT Search? Is this a new platform I have to go join? I was already signed up for a platform. I don't really want to do this again. It's actually just incorporated into GPT already. And so you technically already have it. You don't have to do anything. Realistically, the big difference with it is that when you do a search online, you can actually get the notations for what it is that you're looking up. So when you say, can you search to find me the latest news on Sam Altman and OpenAI, it goes, searches the web, does it amazingly quickly. This is 4.0 mini, by the way. And when it does, it'll give you not only the links to the stories underneath, it'll tell you the sources that it went to go find them and the specific notation from those sources. This was one of the biggest problems that I know a lot of people were having in terms of it can go and search the web, but I went and did a search and what happened was it just pulled stuff from an article and it wasn't really actually in that article. The facts that it gave me or whatever weren't actually found on the page. Is it still doing it? It would be great if it actually flubbed live. Or if it misquoted someplace.
Well, those aren't necessarily quotes, I don't think. right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's actually just pulling the summation from the resource. That's why I was like, okay, well, it must be talking about the transparency. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay. But yeah, so this new feature basically does, I wouldn't say exactly what Perplexity does. Perplexity is a little bit different. Like, the difference between the two is Perplexity is much more of a conversational version of GPT search. So if we took the same thing and we went over to Perplexity and we asked the same question, you'll see you get the same style of results, but the answer is a little bit more structured. And then as well, you'll get related searches that you can make on top of what you've done already. And you can see that Perplexity is structured to be more like a search engine than it is a chat program, whereas, you know, GPT is what it is. Personally, I really do like the new search aspect of it for multiple reasons. It's not just that you can go and do searches now through GPT and find stuff. It's also, again, that you have verifiable information. And lastly, that it's like seamless now. So you don't have to like use any sort of special functions, special commands anymore. You can just say, hey, can you go search or can you go look up, let's say, the weather for next week?
So did you have to click a search icon somewhere or search box?
No search box, no search icon, nothing to enable.
Can I share why I love this?
You go right
ahead. Of course.
Yeah. So here's the fun part, because you know me, I always think about like content, right? And so I'm going to go ahead and pull this little bad boy up right here. And you're going to see that I said, can you search for the people who like to talk about purpose in business? And it gave me the people that like to talk about purpose in business. And then you have this little sources. So it opens the sources here. And you can go and you can read them as a human. But then I said, can we now use these citations to build an article on this topic? Because we've pulled it into the chat. So I, you know, toggle back and forth, search to not search. And so it gave me this little thing. Get a bunch of bullet points. And of course, Chris, then I used my magical, like, hey, can you please go deeper in this information or provide it to me in paragraph style, staying away from bullet points unless extremely needed. And then all of a sudden I have basically like a rough draft of these people and talking about purpose and business. And like, I just did that while Nico was talking. The speed in which you can like just start to iterate from an idea to a draft and basically now tie search into pulling in that information to what you're going to create is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It really, especially when it comes to like research, this is what OpenAI was moving towards. So now you have a accurate GPT research assistant.
Which I love. I mean, let's be honest, because once some humans, I'm going to say me, most of you guys too on this call, like I just need to research it because then I can spin around and educate it. Like I can teach it. So like that being an assistant on the researching side, and then me being able to create something and tweak it and iterate it and then teach it and present it. Can anybody say unstoppable? Like I'm just, it makes me superhuman. Yes.
Yeah.
With two you brains. Need
batteries to play. I did a quick example last night while I was at Chick-fil-A because you had showed us the weather clip in the chat yesterday. We've been already doing it with things like Alexa when it allows, but the conversational like continuation of the information that you're wanting, where without any setup, you know, I push the search button and I say, what's the weather today or what's the weather like tomorrow, and it gives me like exactly what I would have expected to get from Google, right? But then I can say, and how about the forecast, and how about and without rewriting like the query, right? And that is just way more natural. It's like the people who got good at Googling, right? Because we had to rewrite. We don't have to do that anymore.
No,
it's beautiful.
It's a totally different ball game. And I mean, I don't know how a lot of this stuff is going to translate to mobile. I find it interesting that your UI, George, actually looks different than mine. I don't know if you're using, is that
Teams. I have Teams.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So guys, and this is a nerd moment, but I just literally on the base of this, I said, hey, how do these things align with the superhuman framework by George B. Thomas? It sourced sidekickstrategies.com and put it in the sidebar. Oh my God. Anyway, wake up with AI, ladies and gentlemen. It's just like, I'm just saying, how does it know who I am? How does it know what the superhuman framework is already? How can it go and grab it and cite it and bring it in? Everybody's talking about how do we get our organization to show up in AI? Guess what? AI just met your organization because it is AI. It is search. Everything that you've been doing is what you should be doing and more. Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
This might be the Jerry Maguire moment of my life. You shouldn't have to compete to sell your product by way of advertising. You should only have to ever compete to sell your product based on how good your product is, how good your service of that product is, how good of a person you are to the customer that you're servicing. The last thing that should ever matter in terms of how good or awesome your product is or how awesome you are as a brand is how well you advertise it. That should be the last thing that matters. Judged not by the color of our skin, content of our character.
I think I've heard that before somewhere.
Something like that. So, you know, just basically saying that that's how this is going to change. The game is changing when it comes to search, and the game is changing when it comes to advertising, and the way in which the game is changing is meaningful. You have to be meaningful now. You have to be relevant now. You have to have content that is relevant to the search. You can no longer just pay your way to the top of the results. And I love that. I will weep the day that I find out that somebody was able to pay their way to be the first thing that chat mentioned if somebody searched for a particular product or a particular industry or whatever it is. Should never be the case. It should be what it is now. You should get this elongated list of all the potential possibilities where you can then query further and ask, okay, even more in more detail about what it is that I'm looking for, which would be the best match for me, right? And based on who you are as a brand and the content that you've written and the product that you're offering and the way in which you're offering it and the language that you're using and to offer that product or service, that's what's going to determine the customer. And guess what? That sale is going to be nearly instantaneous. It will be the easiest sale that's ever happened to your business. Why? Because it was a genuine connection to somebody who genuinely wanted what you wanted or wanted what you had to offer, and they made that connection through talking essentially to your business as opposed to having to get slammed with some advertising while they weren't paying attention or while they were trying to do something else. You know, there are brands that stick out in my head that I hate that I will never buy stuff from just because of the fact that they won't stop advertising in the most annoying places. There are podcasts, I hate to say this, really do, and hope we don't ever become one of them. There are podcasts that I have stopped listening to because of the fact that they advertise during the podcast as opposed to using the proper advertising space.
This episode brought to you by... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, and it's like, if there was this, you know, what I would love, and maybe I'll start working on it with Claude, who knows? Because I got to tell you guys, one of my favorite things right now is disruption. Like, if I can disrupt any network, any space, any industry right now, especially if you dare me to do it, all the more reason. But I think a really great disruptor for streaming and podcasting is an app that allows you to skip the commercials. So since it can listen to the recording that you're playing, as soon as it starts to hear some sort of sing-songy salesman type stuff, it just goes to the next part.
Yeah, so I don't have to hit the 15 seconds forward four times. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because then it could do that.
Right. And I get it. It's like, well, advertising pays for my business and, you know, pays the bills and all that kind of thing. Figure it out. We'll figure it out, guys. We'll figure out what the other method of doing it is. But it definitely shouldn't be, let's just keep using the same annoying stuff to get in front of people's faces.
Especially as, like, businesses start using AI to support decision making like this, like, there's going to be a clash, there probably already is, where the AI can just straight up ask, like, look, do you want value for the customer or the shareholder? Must pick one, right? Because if the only reason to let people pay their way to the top is because there's money to be made. And I would imagine AI's like, it's going to be AI logic versus like capitalistic tendencies. And the AI would be like, look, you said you want a great user experience, a great customer experience. That's you're customer centric. So this decision doesn't make sense for that. Just want you to be aware and then watch people still press the button like, oh yeah, we know, but we got to do it because we're not asking you to help us innovate out of that business model. That's a lot of infrastructure at risk for good reason too. Like, you know, those moments where I was internal and it's like, you find the thing that everybody hates and management's like, you know, love it or hate it, that's the thing. And it's like, at some point, the fact that everybody hates the thing has to matter. Or else, like, what are we doing here?
At least it should.
Oh, man. I'm excited. This is, you know, what we're seeing. And, like, just this mechanism, I keep coming back to, like, okay, how fast can we educate, you know, people on this? Because this is the kind of thing that can shift, you know, power.
I mean, I've already done a LinkedIn and a Facebook post right now, so we're trying to educate it fast. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, I think the next iteration or the next evolution, at least that I've been looking into, is sort of, it's really, I'll find out more after this weekend, but I think it's already sort of beyond like agentic stuff. I don't know. I think the idea of what an agent can be is already rapidly changing. And when I think about the iterations of GPT, and I think about how fast those have come to pass, and really when I say that, I mean by iteration like 4.0, 4.0 Canvas, 4.0 Mini, they're iterations of the model that have different capabilities, advanced capabilities, different capabilities. You know, the way in which Claude works with having keyboard and mouse as a capability, it's just an iteration. An iteration into 4 and Claude 3 gave us the capability of agentic use case. A new iteration of Claude now gives us keyboard and mouse type interface and use case. To me, that's infinitely more powerful than just having an agent, right? Having something that can quite literally, like, digitally mimic a person and can go around on the web and can go log into my accounts for me and can go do a number of things. Like, sure, agents can do that, but you have to give them all the stuff that they need in order to do it. As opposed to, let's say, a keyboard and mouse representation of myself that can go use my Chrome logins and get into my stuff without me actually having to share sensitive information with anybody's system.
Yeah. Jorge and I were talking about this yesterday, actually, in the vein of security and credit cards. And when do computers come out that you have like AI settings that allow them to not get to certain things and get to certain things? We've all been on those Zoom calls where the person with the new Mac says, oh, hang on, I got to leave and do this setting and come back in. Like, do we hit a place where computers are just shipped with the AI security features that you can enable or disable to your comfort and level? The other side of this too is, when does it get to a point, this is a little bit of a side tangent, but when does it get to the point where we're just able to digitize ourselves enough that you literally could, like we were talking about, how you're able to work with and talk to like Grandpa George 50 years from now, because there's like this fundamental digitized version of everything that we've put on the internet of content and belief and structure. And now there's the 11 labs and there's this video model. And so you wake up and it's like, log in, talk to Grandpa Chris, talk to Grandpa Nico, right? And like, and be able to pick the brains. Because imagine like if you could talk to Einstein or Steve Jobs or Martin Luther King right now, the things that you could ask. Like, I know, Nico, you're probably freaking out mentally now because you're like literally kind of doing that with Claude now. But imagine if it was like this verbal, visual, and I don't know if we'll get there, but that kind of excites me a little bit, knowing that you, like, you talk about leaving a legacy. You could mentor for years past what we can actually be here. And I'm not trying to freak anybody out, but like, that's where my brain goes. It's like, it's almost like this, you could live on, and there's many a movie that has this concept, right? I want to wake up and maybe someday that be reality, but I don't know if it will be or not.
I think it will, among many others. I should send you a video from interview with Ray Kurzweil, who's
send it over.
One of the more futuristic, like I would say accurately futuristic people on the subject. And this is a guy who predicted this level of AI where we're at right now back in the 80s, like early 80s. And he predicted, and by that I mean like this time period, like he hit the nail nearly on the head. It was like 85% accurate in what he was predicting, right? And what's funny to me is that this stuff isn't difficult to believe if you're seriously into science fiction. It's not hard to believe at all. It is difficult to believe the time frame and like how fast it might happen. That's really the only difficulty. It's not a matter of like if we're actually going to be able to do it. But his estimations were exactly what you're saying. And I mean, look, you know, Elon's already got Neuralink going, right? So it's like, you know, how long is the time frame between having something that reads your brain to something that saves what it's reading from your brain to then be able to store that. And then you have, like, you know, I mean, we already have figure one, and it's a trained model. It's trained on data. So what's the difference between that as a base with a custom GPT?
There was air quotes for those of you listening in that, the custom GPT, because those were very important air quotes that you just threw up in silence.
With a little brain file in there, a little George brain file, George TXT.
Hey, that got nerdy. I love it. Whoa. You know what they would need to do, though, if there was a George TXT file, they would have to make sure that the data was clean. You know, you'd have to, like, make sure it was all things. And actually, that's the skill that pays the bill, by the way, for today's. It's you need clean and reliable data because, well, it's important. And automating that data cleansing with AI, that might actually be something that might be interesting. Look, for businesses relying on data to make strategic decisions, and for all that is holy, I hope you are, nothing's more important than accuracy around your data. Messy data leads to flawed insights, and that's where AI steps in. It can do the heavy lifting to remove duplicates, correct errors, and fill the gaps automatically. Heck, if you're using something like HubSpot Operations, you already know this is possible. If that's foreign to you, go check it out. But I want you to picture this, your data as a garden. You need it to be weed-free, organized, and healthy so it can grow your business. With AI-powered data cleansing tools, it's like having a gardener on call 24/7. The AI scans data sets, spots inconsistencies, and fixes them in real time. Instead of you as a human manually sifting through thousands of entries, which if that sounds exciting to you, I don't know what to do with you, but AI takes care of it, making sure every data point is standardized and ready for analysis. Here's the magic of AI-driven data cleansing. It doesn't just fix what's wrong. It continuously monitors for new errors, keeping your data pristine. So if you're in e-commerce, managing customer information from various channels, website forms, social media, and email signups, that's a lot. So instead of struggling with duplicate records or incomplete addresses, AI cleans it up, merge entries, and ensures every piece of information is up to date. Sounds a little bit like Breeze, maybe, but you know. So let's go ahead and skip to the highlights. Automatic error detection. AI identifies and corrects errors in real time, so you're working with accurate, reliable data every time. Consistent data standardization, from removing duplicates to formatting entries. AI keeps your data neat and consistent, ready for analysis or reporting. Very important for your business. And continuous improvement. AI tools get better over time, learning from your data and adjusting to catch issues faster and more effectively. And ladies and gentlemen, I squeezed that in the best way I could. But that's today's AI skill that pays the bills.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Of course, there's an anecdote ready to go. You know, somebody posted in Reddit today, why aren't people using, you know, AI chat more? And data, content, information, all needed to train AI. And businesses, which I thought was just an industrial manufacturing thing, but it's a B2B problem. It's like the more important, or the closer we get to a customer in a business, think sales, think customer success, customer service. Businesses have chosen, or from natural tendencies, have overemphasized one-to-one communication, one-to-one live communication, have not focused on creating content, data, information that supports asynchronous communication. Therefore, they don't have knowledge bases. They don't have all of the things that an AI chat would need to be effective. And now, even though you could use AI, like George said, to clean data or to take that user manual and just immediately create a knowledge base based on that, we still have to get to the point where we prioritize that asynchronous communication for the customers, that we need to even think that we could use the user manual in that way. And that's where the other half of this is, that understanding without that stuff, but also the need to serve customers at this level, that's the way it is. And, you know, my journey has told me, going into businesses, I'm glad I'm here now, but if I would have had this, it would have been so powerful. You know, but now, thanks to AI, you know, we get to use that the best we can to help people make this transition. And what's that transition, Nico?
That transition is from being woefully asleep to learning how to wake up with AI.
That's a wrap for this episode. of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning, and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.